meeting in verse 21. Matthew 16:21, the Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples." Now, who is Jesus showing this to? His disciples, those who are learners, those who are wanting to know him. "At that time, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." You know, when we read these verses looking back, you know, we understand what's about to happen, right? We understand what's going to happen to Jesus. But it was not as easy for them to grasp what he was saying. And notice what probably the leader among the leaders of the disciples said in verse 22. "Then Peter took him," talking about took Jesus, "and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.'" Lord, we will not let this happen. Isn't that something? We're not going to let this happen. You may think it's going to happen, but trust me, he says, we're not going to let this happen. You know, when I look at some of the things the apostles said and did, it makes me glad that God puts up with a lot from us, right? Verse 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter," Jesus is speaking now to Peter, "'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" Now, he's very serious about this. "'Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.'" He's talking to Peter, but he's addressing Satan also. And he's saying, you know, you don't even know the things you're talking about. You're thinking like a man. You're not thinking like God would want us to think. Verse 24, "Then," in the context of what we've just read, "then said Jesus unto his disciples," speaking to his disciples, he says to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, we're going to talk about this more, but, you know, Peter said, "We're not going to let you die." And Jesus rebuked him. After Peter rebuked Jesus, Jesus rebuked Peter. And then Jesus said, "If you're going to come after me, you're going to have to be willing to die. If you're going to have to come to me, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." They wanted Jesus to save his life, right? Peter, we're not going to let you die. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to deny yourself. And anybody that will save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I want to speak for a little bit tonight on the subject of the disciples' call to self-denial, or to deny self. Because that's what is in this. Jesus didn't just say this once. It's repeated numerous times in the Gospels. I think it's always relevant. But it's especially relevant in this self-centered culture society that we live in. Because everything about this society is save yourself. Have your way. Demand your rights. But God calls his disciples to deny themselves. To me, every command of the Bible ought to be taken seriously. But this, to me, is one of the most powerful, convicting, really life-changing commands of Jesus. Because self-denial is absolutely essential to being a follower of Jesus. Right? So let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we begin. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read it. Thank you for its power. Lord, we tonight ask for your help as we study the Bible together. Lord, we know that you want us to seek you. Lord, you command us to seek you. And our heart responds to that command by saying, Lord, we want to seek you. We pray that you'd have your way in our hearts. Lord, we pray that anything that would stand between us and full surrender of our lives, Lord, we would lay it aside cheerfully for the sheer joy and pleasure and privilege of following You. And so we ask for Your help, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I want to begin tonight by just looking at this matter of self-denial and talk about what it means. What does it mean to deny self? Verse 24 says, if any man will come after Me, any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny self? Well, in essence, it means to say no to ourself, to say no to what we want, to put God's will before our will. It's refusing the carnal desires of our flesh in favor of what God wants for our life. And that's not our natural tendency. Now, I know I'm going to say what I'm going to say because it's based on the Bible, not just based on my experience. But if I were to talk from my own experience, my natural tendency is not to deny myself. My natural tendency is to protect myself. It's to promote myself, right? That's my natural tendency. And many of you are nodding because you know that either that's your natural tendency or maybe you think it is my natural tendency and you're disagreeing with me. You know, if we're going to deny ourselves, we have to identify what are things that have to do with ourselves. And I'm not going to try to point all those out, but discern the Spirit of God living within the children of God and the Word of God and the discernment God gives us ought to help us to recognize that's not what God wants. That's just what you want. You know, it's a trap to think that everything we want, naturally want, is always God's will. And we need to identify, is this me or is this God? I mean, if I would have been sitting around the motel room this evening and said, you know, I'm just kind of running down and tired. You know, I think maybe I'll skip church tonight. As a matter of fact, that is what I said. My wife said, you have to go. You're preaching. You know, well, would that have been God lead? Would God lead me to disobey God's will? No, God wouldn't lead me to do that. So we have to identify what our selfish desires are. Self-denial is a life of choosing against what our flesh wants to do and choosing for what God wants us to do. Now, that's very simple, but that's really required if we're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means telling yourself no. No, you may want to do that, but you may want to say that. You may want to get out of that, but you can't do what you want to do. The flesh wants to take the easy road. Self-denial says, no, you're not going to take the easy road. We're going to take the right road. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Self-denial is a form of self-control. The failure to control self is a big problem. By the way, the New Testament word that we often think of as self-control, the New Testament word is temperance. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. It's self-control. And I want to tell you, it's always been, I think this has always been a problem for man ever since Adam sinned, is to have this self-desire, self-life. But it's so promoted in our culture. I mean, you know, I'm not that old, but I can remember, you know, when things like, you know, laziness and different things were, these character flaws, these things were called out, but now it's just a way of life. Promote yourself. I remember the first time I saw a magazine on a magazine rack and the title of the magazine is Self. And I thought, what a proper name for a magazine in our generation. Self-control to me strikes at the root of many of our faults and failures. They stem from selfishness. We don't have to teach our children to be selfish. We only had three children, but nobody had to sit them down and teach them to be selfish, right? They just come natural. It's a part of our human nature. There's a sense in which Adam and Eve sinned because of their selfishness. They wanted something that God said you can't have. Would it have been great if they'd have said, yes, we, it looks appealing, but no, we're not going to do that. But they did not do that. Lot ended up in Sodom because of selfishness. Abraham said, take what you want. Take our land, our people, our crops, our livestock. They're too much to dwell together. We need to separate. Lot, you take what you want. And he took the well-watered plains of Jordan and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Selfishness. David sinned with Bathsheba because of selfishness. He wanted something that God says no, but he did it anyway. Samson took Delilah because of selfishness. He wanted that. Israel was defeated at Ai because Achan at Jericho wanted something that God said you cannot have. That's selfishness. And that's at the root of our problem. And really, it's rebellion against God to say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what God says. Now, Jesus is, as always, the perfect example of what self-denial looks like. He's the perfect example of what God wants for His children. And we see this in verse 21. We read it a moment ago. I hope you keep your Bible open there in Matthew chapter 16. But Jesus showed unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, those the religious people in Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things of these religious, elitist people and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus would willingly suffer the cruel agony of the cross because He would choose to do that. Don't overlook this. Jesus was God, eternal God, creator God in the flesh. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus had a human body that felt pain and got weary. And don't think for a moment that the cross was not intense agony, torture, immeasurable torture upon Jesus. And He denied Himself. He went to the cross for us. He sacrificed to come from heaven, to come to this earth, born of a virgin, to live a sinless life for 33 years, to go to the cross as the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world and take the weight of all the sins of every person in the world and every sin you've ever sinned and every sin that I've ever sinned, and all those sins He would take upon His perfect, sinless, holy body. Imagine God being willing to take our sin upon Himself on the cross. He didn't do that because it was easy. He did it was because it was right, it was God's will, and it was necessary. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He prayed, He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. He could have called legions of angels, right, to rescue Him. But He did not do that. And so He tells them in verse 21, this is what's going to happen to me. And then in verse 24, He says, you also must be willing to take up your cross. Look in verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. I've seen a couple of people in my lifetime who were going across the country pulling a cross, a wooden cross, as a testimony. They're using it as a platform to witness, things of that nature. But when Jesus is saying that, He's not just talking about grabbing a cross and walking it around with it for a while and then laying it down. No, the cross was an instrument of death. And He says, we must be willing to die to self. He didn't say you're going to have to die on a cross. He says, you must take up your cross and follow after me. We must be willing to die to self. Self-denial is an individual choice. Self-denial, we're talking about, what is self-denial? It's a daily choice. Paul said, I die daily. You know, we can die to self today, but tomorrow we could make foolish decisions pampering ourselves and our flesh. We either choose the life of self-pleasure and self-reliance, or we deny self, which is the path of pleasing God. So that's, in a nutshell, what self-denial is. I hope we all have some concept, some understanding of what it means to deny self. We say no to ourselves. Imagine tonight that God would, in your heart, prompt you to do something you know God wants you to do. Maybe tonight you need to be saved. You're thinking about it. You think about that. I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. And through the message, you think, I need Jesus Christ in my life. And the obvious choice would be, I must repent and put my faith in Jesus Christ. And you say, I'd be afraid to talk to somebody or ask somebody. I'm afraid what people might think. You have to deny yourself. You have to say no to what you want or what you're afraid of and say yes to Jesus Christ. That's what self-denial is. The second thing we see in this passage is not only the reality of self-denial, but we see the resistance to self-denial. We see it, first of all, in Peter. We read this a moment ago in verse 22. After Jesus said, I'm going to die, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. I know I've said this before when I was here. It just comes to my mind a lot when I'm preaching. I think it'd be so nice when we get to heaven if we could just have a way of watching, visually watching, put a VHS tape in the recorder in heaven. And I'd like to watch this scene right here, wouldn't you? I'd like to be able to watch this scene where Jesus said, I'm going to go and die. And Peter says, we'll never let that happen. You can trust us. We'll protect you. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. We're talking about now the resistance. There's a resistance to self-denial. And Peter resisted it. Peter wanted to say, think about this. It seems noble. Peter wanted to save the life of Jesus. We're not going to let this happen. But he didn't even understand. He didn't comprehend what was taking place. He didn't comprehend what Jesus' death would mean. And a person who saves their life, this is what verse 25 says, a person who saves their life will lose it. But a person who's willing to lose their life will save it. You can save your life. You can have your way. You can refuse to submit to God's will. You can refuse to surrender to Jesus Christ. You can keep postponing important decisions. You can do that, but it's going to cost you. Because you can save your life, but if you do, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life, you'll find it. Right? That's what Jesus said. But Peter resisted self-denial. And not only does Peter resist self-denial, our flesh resists self-denial. And it could be in the most minor things. You know, this has probably never happened. Those of you who are married, this probably never happened in your marriage where you realize you said something to your husband or your wife that you shouldn't have, or you had an attitude that you shouldn't have. And as a Christian, you think, you know, You ought to say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And I just love doing that. Right? No, not. No. The flesh doesn't want. You have to deny yourself and do the right thing. And I want to do that. Usually I hold out for a while and hope that she'll admit she's wrong or somehow she'll come through, but it doesn't usually happen. But the thing is, we naturally want our way. We naturally want our way. We're coming over here driving along, and I'm merging onto some highway. I don't know what it is, and people are just being New Yorkers. And I didn't even see this car. I don't see Ashley, but she ought to be thankful God brought us through because I was driving her car. But I didn't even see this car, but I mean, this guy didn't want, I had the right of way, but he was not going to let me get over there. And I didn't plan on saying that, but that's the way our flesh is. We don't want to give in. We don't want to give up our rights. We don't want to let God have his way. We naturally want our way, the way that pleases us. It's an amazing thing when you think about it in the Gospels. The closer Jesus got to the cross, The more he pushed this matter of self-denial and obedience, and the smaller the crowds became. People began to reject. They rejected this call of self-denial. Let me just say this. It may seem kind of strong, but I believe this. To refuse to submit to Jesus is rebellion. It's rebellion. To refuse to deny ourselves. To say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what mom, dad says, or dad says, or the preacher says, or God says. I'm going to do my own thing. That is a serious thing. And, in John chapter 6, right before this mass exodus, when people began to leave Jesus and hordes of people began to leave him, the disciple says, this is a hard saying. I mean, this is hard. This is a hard pill to swallow. And sometimes God's word is hard to take to our flesh. But let me say something. All God's commands are good. And they're not grievous. They're for our benefit. But the Bible says many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were disciples in the sense that they were learners. They were following him. They wanted to know about him and learn about him. But they were not saved people. You know, to be a follower of Jesus, we have to be willing to deny ourselves. And that doesn't mean you get saved because you deny yourself. You get saved because you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. But He's Lord. Amen? Whether, you know, He is Lord. He wants us to acknowledge Him as Lord. Now, I just want to say something about this matter of self-denial. It's good for us. It's for our benefit. You'd have never convinced me of this when I was lost. When I was a rebellious teenager, when my mother would take us to church, and I was rebellious as I could be, and finally when I got to be old enough, I quit going to church. You'd have never convinced me that the best thing I could do would be submissive to God and to be submissive to His Word. But I'm telling you, it's the best life there is. I've lived the life of rebellion to God. It's not a good life. It's for our benefit. It's good for us. It's good for us to be in church when maybe we thought about just staying home. It's good for us. Sometimes God's will is challenging, but it's best to follow Jesus. And I can't prove this, but I believe it's true. My experience teaches me this is true. I think in most cases, now there are exceptions to that, but in most cases, I'm talking about church life now. For the most part, larger churches are churches that do not emphasize self-denial or sacrifice. There's a church that we drive by sometimes. It's in Illinois. We're traveling out east on Highway 64, and we're going back that direction. A big, big sign on the side of the church, Enjoy. E-N-J-O-Y, Enjoy Church. Right? By the way, I enjoy this church, right? I enjoy being in church. But I went to their website because I wanted to see what they promote. You know what they promote? It's like Burger King religion. Have it your way. Right? And you know what? People like that. You know, if you like a traditional service, you can come to that. If you like a more contemporary service, you can come to that. You can dress up. You can dress down. You can do whatever. You know, people like that. But answer me this question in your mind. Can you ever imagine from everything you know? I've read the Gospels many, 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 many times. I can never imagine Jesus saying, look, if you'll follow me, you can have it your way. If you'll follow me, you can do as you please. If you'll follow me, you never have to deny yourself. Do you ever see Jesus saying anything like that? You know what? Jesus is not mean. Jesus is just good. And He's God. He knows what's right. He calls us to deny ourselves. I don't think we ought to intentionally make it harder for people. I don't believe that. But I never find Jesus trying to make it easy on people. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. It's natural for people to choose the easier path. We were talking last night, Nadim and us, after services, about just about other cultures and what it's like for Christians in other places. But I think any thinking person would agree with what I'm about to say. The hardship that Christians endure in many parts of the world would be too much for many American Christians that call themselves Christians, whether Christians or not. You know what I'm saying? We're soft. We got it easy. I mean, this is rough. Isn't this tough? I mean, we're in an air-conditioned building, and we've got soft pews. And my, you know what? This is we. You say, well, it is hard to be here. Don't you know it's Monday night? I know, but I'm just saying things are relative. And Jesus, I'm glad for the comforts we have. I'm glad for the ease that we have. I'm glad for air conditioning. I'm glad for things like that. I'm not complaining. But God never called us to an easy life. He called us to an obedient life. He called us to surrender to Him. And Jesus calls His followers. Self-denial is not an option with Jesus. It's mandatory. It's required. And if a person sits and hears this and says, well, I don't know if I'm going to let him have your way, then you need to be honest with yourself. It's not just a matter of understanding. It's a matter of not wanting his way. I didn't make this up. These are not my lines. They're his lines. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Our preference is not primary consideration, but what would please the Lord. So, Peter resisted self-denial. We're talking about resisting it. Our flesh resists it. Mine does. I'll just tell you, mine does. But thirdly, Satan resists it. Because he was at the center of what Peter said. Look in verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I want to tell you, I know you agree with this. You hear this kind of stuff often because it's from the Bible. But this matter of always pampering ourselves is not of God, that's of men. This refusal to humble ourselves and submit, that is not of God. That's of men. And that's the mentality Peter had. And the devil was using him. Satan resists self-denial. You can preach a lot of sermons, and even people who aren't all that serious about spiritual things will enjoy it. But for a person to really appreciate, enjoy, and get on board with what this Jesus is saying, they've got to really have a heart for doing what God wants them to do, right? Self-satisfaction, self-gratification, self-indulgence is the character of Satan. That's what he's all about. If I understand this right, Jesus said, buddy, guys, listen, fasten your seatbelts. Because when we get into Jerusalem, it's going to get ugly, really ugly. And they're going to beat me until I don't even look like a human being. They're going to mock me. And they're going to nails, drive spikes through my hands, and they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die. Better get ready for this. And Satan didn't want that to happen. Satan resists self-denial. But here's the reason. Because self-denial led to the cross. Self-denial led to Jesus' death. Self-denial led to your salvation. No wonder Satan hates it. Don't you thank God what Jesus did for us? Aren't you glad tonight? Think about this. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't take the easy way? That Jesus didn't pamper himself and didn't call thousands? Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus manned up and said, look, this is the price that I'm going to have to pay They're going to take my very life. They're going to torture me beyond imagination. But I'm going to take it because it's God's will. Aren't you glad Jesus did that for us? So we see the meaning of self-denial, what it means. We see the natural resistance to self-denial. But finally, the last thing I want to mention is we see the power of self-denial. I want to go back to verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. When I read that verse, I think of people that I know that are saving their life. But they're going to lose it. They're going to have life the way they want to have it. I'm thinking of people, I can see their faces right now, people I know, people I love. They're just refusing to let Jesus have His way in their life. They're going to lose it. And whosoever, in verse 25, shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Not his physical life, his self-life. He's going to lose his life. See, here's the power of self-denial. Death brings life. Right? Jesus said in John chapter 12, I believe it is, that a corn of wheat has to fall into the ground and die. And unless it dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. The only way that kernel of corn, the only way that kernel of corn will ever produce a stalk of corn, which will ever produce ears of corn, the only way is that corn has to die. Right? That's right. Death brings life. I was reading today in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where Paul was talking about we're troubled on every side. We're perplexed. Remember he said all that? But he says death works in us, but life works in you. He said the more I'm willing to die, the more life is manifested in me. The same's true in us. That's the power of self-denial. The more you'll say no to yourself and yes to Jesus Christ, the more His life will be manifested in our life. Death works in us. Death works in us. Sometimes, I'm not talking about just physical death. I'm not just talking about physical pain. It could be rejection. It could be giving up something that's very meaningful to us for the glory of God. But the more death works in us, the more we say no to ourselves, the more we die to self and yield ourselves to Him, the more His life will be manifested in us. The cross brings victory. The Roman cross was invented. It was invented and designed to inflict the most possible torture, the most agonizing, painful form of death possible. It was a cruel thing. And when the Bible says, take up your cross, to me, it's talking about like when Jesus, when He was going to go to Golgotha, and they laid that cross upon Him. He was taking up His cross, that instrument of death. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. We don't have to pick up a physical cross. But we have to be willing to die to self. We have to be willing to die to self if we're going to live. For Jesus, the cross was not a defeat. Peter thought, we can't let this happen. Everything will be messed up. If you die, all our dreams are going to perish. But the cross, death was not a defeat. He died that He could live again in power. And that He might give life to those who follow Him. So Peter viewed death as an enemy of their cause. And you know what? There are a lot of people who are challenged with the gospel, challenged with the command to die to self, and they see that as a threat to their way of life. Peter saw the cross as the death as being a threat, an enemy to their cause, but death was the means of victory. My flesh sometimes wants to have its way, It wants to decide on what and where and when. That's our flesh. Right? Because it just resists self-denial. But I'm telling you, according to the Bible, the more we die, the more victory we have. The more life we have. So as long as a person, just think about this, as long as a person wants to pamper or cater to their flesh, there'll be no victory. Some amazing things you hear about in churches. Well, I don't go because somebody hurt my feelings. You know, they offended me. You know what Jesus said? Die to self. Right? It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about our feelings. It's about letting Him have His way in our life. I think this matter, self-denial, is at the center of many, many foolish decisions that we make. And I could just go off in many directions. I'm not going to do that tonight. But just let me mention a couple of things. Many financial decisions that ruin people's future and jeopardize their well-being are made because of they refuse to deny their self. You can apply that to so many things. Marriages, friendships, relationships. The inability or refusal to serve the Lord. You know, there's no time in my schedule for serving the Lord. Now, I got time for soccer league. You know, I got time for this. But I don't have time for serving Jesus. I tell you, a lot of it's just a self problem. You say, what got you upset today? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know what? I want people to enjoy the Christian life. And you cannot enjoy the Christian life always protecting yourself, gratifying yourself, pampering yourself. Lots of people, I think, are missing out on God's will because they're refusing to humble themselves. And you know what? When we protect ourselves, it's like we're squeezing life out of us, the spiritual life. And the more we're willing to die to self, the more we live. If we believe that, we practice that, I think it would change our lives. So here's the question tonight. First of all, You cannot be saved. A person can't even be saved if they're not willing to deny themselves and say, I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. I'm guilty. I'm not a good man. I'm guilty. At the very heart of my being, I'm prideful, selfish. You say, how do you know I'm? Because we all are. And salvation is not just putting a Band-Aid on a problem. It's saying, I'm willing to turn my life over to Christ. I'm willing to yield my life to Christ. I'm willing to trust Him and Him only. I'm going to take His word. And if you're and maybe tonight you're there. I hope you're there. If you're not saved, you need to get there. Imagine holding on to self-will and pride and going all the way to hell with it. And spending eternity in hell when you were so close to being saved. I'm thinking about the person in the Gospels who Jesus said to, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, it's not enough to be close. We want to be in the kingdom of God. And whatever it is, if it's just something you're holding on to, some problem you've had, some trust issue of the past, God says, why don't you just lay it aside and come to me and turn to me and trust me completely? That's what we ought to do tonight. And maybe tonight, I hope you'll say to somebody, I'm going to be standing around here down here in a minute. You could come and say, hey, I want somebody to talk to me about this. Or after services, whatever. Don't let self take you to hell. And then maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I know I'm saved. I truly have been born again. But I've been resisting something that I know God's will. Hey, do you really think resisting that is going to be good for you? Do you really think it will? Not too long ago, matter of fact, just a matter of weeks ago, I went to see a preacher who really wronged me and wronged our church. And I hadn't spoken to him for years. To my knowledge, I'd never done anything. He may have thought I did, but I didn't do anything to offend him. But I went to him. And I said, look, I want to go over this. I'm not giving you any details, but I want to go over this because, look, if I've done something wrong, if I've done something to offend you, if I did something that you thought was inappropriate, I want you to tell me because I don't want that between us. And long story short, we talked for a long time and things went good and I'm glad for it. But here's my point. I could have easily finished my life, never spoke to that man, and been good with it. As far as I didn't feel like I had done anything wrong. But what I'm saying is there may be things in your life where you think, you know, I really ought to do this. I need to make this right with that person. I need to say I was wrong. But your pride is standing in the way. I'm telling you, that is going to choke the spiritual life out of you. Just say, just like I have to do to my wife sometimes, I just have to tell myself no and go tell her, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. Now, what you did made me do it. No, I don't say. Say no to yourself. Look yourself in the face. Look yourself in the mirror. And say, you may not want to do this. It may go against your fleshly desires, but I'm not going to give in to my flesh. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You'll be a better person for it. Right? Amen. Let's stand together, please. Let's bow our heads together for a moment.